This is the best show ever with your host, Coach Gary and Kyle Pagan, presented by Crossing Broad. What's up, everybody? Is this the best show ever? Or
best
is
show.
97.5 officially own the best show ever because they named it? Did they take it away from everybody?
Ever? Is it like, I thought the...
They have a monopoly on best shows.
I thought the question mark was by mistake. I thought someone fucked up the cryon or the graphic down below.
I didn't even notice that there was a question mark in the graphic.
So
I thought when you were tweeting it out, it was ironic. Like Tyrone being like, what the hell is this?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Like, I'm Ron Burgundy.
God damn it. Tyrone Johnson will read anything on the teleprompter.
It's like, damn it. Who put a question mark on the teleprompter? Anything that's on there, Burgundy will read.
I don't understand how you can have a $1 billion company, how you can have all these marketing people, all these salespeople, all these upper management. Supposedly the CEO was involved in this decision, and best show ever with a question mark is just, I mean, you're asking to be memed to death.
Yeah, really.
It doesn't work.
This is one of those things. Well, your outlet in its own kind of took the steam out of today because we kind of knew exactly what was happening. Shout out to Kevin Kincaid and his sources. He's basically the Woj of...
Yes. Philadelphia sports media.
It's incredible. We already gave takes on what we think the show will be. I think they're at a disadvantage. The Broads thing, I know he's no Algebra Bull. It's just that voice is crazy.
It's a tough voice.
Being that guy.
So our comments, like on Crossing Broad on Twitter and Facebook, aren't the greatest litmus test because I would say our readers are not always radio fans, if that makes sense. You could say that we've had a contentious relationship with the radio, but I would argue that those guys read just as much as Crossing Broad as our readers read of Crossing Broad. Kevin's liked in some circles, Kevin's not liked in other circles, whether it's because he's broken
Kevin.
News or
and
whatnot. But like, you know, I'm sure he's rubbed people the wrong way, but he's never viciously attacked anyone. So I would give credit to Kevin where credit's due. But if you went off of our readers, not many people are happy. And it's all over the place. Some people like Tyrone. Some people hate Broad. Some people like Broad. Some people hate Tyrone. Some people can't believe Ricky Bowe or Jen Scordos are there. I don't know why you're angry that Jen Scordos are there.
She's an update anchor. So it's like, she's part of the show.
Yeah. She's part of the show. I don't know the guy, but allegedly he's got a laundry list of people that he's blocked in his heyday.
This is Tyrone. Yeah.
I just don't think naming the show best show ever does you anything good.
I don't understand why they didn't just like, I mean, they call it the Mikey Mish show because he sold it. Maybe it's because like it almost seems like gimmicky. Like I feel like they could have just called it Drive Time with Tyrone Johnson.
What did that take you? 5 seconds to come up with that?
3 seconds. Like I was like, why don't just call it Drive Time?
Just call it Drive Time. It's fine. And like, listen, like once again, Tyrone's been in the industry for 20 years. He's built up a great career. Shout out to Broads. I mean, he
built up a YouTube. Rise.
Yeah, Meteoric Rise. Shout out to Ricky Bowe. He was doing like, I didn't even know this. He was doing like shit out in not Levittown, but some like upper 1490 AM show like a couple years. Like these are guys that have radio experience and everything. I go back to it. It's like you don't have to be liked by everyone, but you have to be likable. And that's why I think it's going to shoot Tyrone in the foot. And then it doesn't help when people have such a hot take on another guy's voice.
Yeah, that's the voice is crazy, and I'm sure he's already sick of hearing about it because it's definitely not fake. Unless he's like, oh, if I do this, like maybe I'll get further because it's so unique, and maybe that's a tactic he's taking. Now I know nothing about Broads other than his voice. I've heard him have takes, but he just always sounds so angry. He sounds like a sports radio host. It's almost like he's doing a cheap Gargano impression sometimes with a little bit more of a Philly thing. I've said it all the time. Anytime a new show comes out, I'll give it a shot. I did the same thing with Kincaid, and Kincaid really sold me. I'm a big Kincaid listener every morning. It's also because he's going up against the guy who's been mailing it in for 30 years. So, like, I would love to have a good show that I look forward to at the end of the day. I really do like the Marks and Reese show. It's just like, I'm just so sick of the same callers at the same time every day and how they just, like, enable them. So it's just like, the show is just a daily. It's almost like it has a cast of characters, and there's nothing new to it.
If the cast of characters are more interesting, I feel like you would enjoy it more.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't need to hear Chuck from Mallinari making his takes. I don't need to hear, you know, I can't even think of OG Wade. Like, there's just call on call. Like, it's just like, I've heard enough of it. I like when Marks, Reese, and Jack talk sports or talk anything other than sports. I like when they're all conversing together, and I think that's why the Kincaid model is such a good model. It's just them. Every once in a while, there'll be a caller, but it's just them, and they just keep pushing it down the road. It's very well run. It's well thought out. I like the characters on there. Like, I think that's a better model. Like, podcast. Like, we were talking about this last week. Sometimes, like, you know, we talk about who do we want to get as a, who do we get a guest, who do we get as a guest. I think sometimes people just want to hear us.
They want to hear you talk about how you couldn't change your underwear for 48 hours, 72 hours.
Yeah.
Some weeks.
Most weeks.
I'll tell you what, if you want to do the caller model on 97.5, you do not have a lack of people delivering hot takes. I'll tell you that.
No. I mean, and it's you know, look, they also are trying to fill 4 hours a day, and callers help that out. And I know that's
wild to me.
It is. I mean, let's talk about Crossing Broadcast real fast. How do you feel it's been going for the first couple weeks in?
I love it. I love it. It feels too short because it's probably 30 minutes. We have been probably giving more 45 to 55 minutes to an hour. I think we're actually kind of starting to build the show out. We have two guests tomorrow. We got Derek Bodner and this guy from hockey, Russ Cohen, who Kevin knows. So that's going to be really cool. So, you know, Derek's going to come on from 12:15 to 12:30. Russ is going to come on from 12:30 to 12:45. And we might, you know, it's easy to do an hour.
Yeah, it is. I mean, me and you will look up sometimes like, oh, shit, it's already been an hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we're just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
I mean, our prep is literally 6 text messages back and forth, and we just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've listened a decent amount to Crossing Broadcast. I think you've done a very good job with it so far.
Thank you. Thank you.
So congratulations on that. But you know, just like, again, trying to fill 4 hours would be hard.
It's just wild. It is. I don't think anybody should be filling 4 hours of anything in 2022 when TikTok is huge, when Instagram reels are huge, and you can only do about 1 minute to 2 minutes to 30 seconds of clips and stuff. It's
yeah.
It just doesn't make sense today in today's consumer.
And I know I'm kind of coming into it too, because there'll be times like on my lunch break, I'll be like, oh, I'll watch this YouTube video. It'll be like 18 minutes, like 12 minutes in. I'm like, I'm done with this. And then I wind up just on Reels. Just be like, oh, let me just scroll this mindlessly. Mm-hmm. Because it's so quick and sometimes they're funny.
Yeah. And you can, and one will always come back for you. So like, and that's the algorithm too, where it's like, hey, this one sucked. You swiped right through it. Okay. Let's get something that Gary likes. It's frightening, but it's also insane how well these platforms get to know you.
Somehow right now I just get a bunch of people who live on cruise ships, and I find it very interesting. I don't know how.
On cruise TikTok or are you on cruise Instagram?
Instagram. I've never been on a cruise in my life. They just keep showing up.
You're not missing much.
I don't know how. I don't want to go on a cruise. I'm just like, I find it interesting, their day-to-day life. People have to work on that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, but you're not like on vacation. You're still like taking orders and shit. And
yeah,
and,
well, I know that
cruise passengers suck.
Well, I think the one guy that keeps coming up, he's like, no, he's a musician. So he's just like, oh, yeah, I just go out and sing every day.
Wouldn't it get old looking out at the horizon with no land or?
Oh, I don't know. I've never been. I have no ambition to go on a cruise. I think if I won a cruise, I would go, but I don't think I would pay to go on a cruise.
I don't think you'd go if you even won a cruise. I really don't.
I think I would go. My wife won't go. She says she gets seasick. And I'm like, boats are huge. So
boats are big, but you feel it, man. You in the buffet line.
Well, yeah. Look, I'm a fisherman, but I've been out on boats a decent amount. I feel like I could handle it. But I would rather just fly to Mexico and sit on a beach if I was going to do an all inclusive thing. So that's kind of my take on the whole cruise situation.
I'm trying to think, how can you compare cruises or what would you rather? Cruises or I don't know.
Great radio.
Is this the best show
Zeppelins?
Ever?
This is the best show ever. This was one of the better shows we've ever had. Speaking of someone who can fill 4 hours, Major League Baseball. some of the games are getting longer. It's been interesting the last few days. The Mets have had to pull some guys up from AAA, so they've been talking about some of the rules that they put in. They had Dom Smith come on talking about the pitch clock, and he says it really speeds the game up. They've had those games down to about 2 hours and 35 minutes. So I can't wait for the pitch clock to come.
No, that's awesome. And I'll look up sometimes. It'll be 9:45. We'll be in the eighth inning. And I think actually baseball is actually going fast. I could be wrong. I know I definitely am wrong because Phillies games were.
Feels like it sped up a little bit.
Yeah, but Phillies games were at one point. I don't know if it still is, but at one point they were the longest games in the MLB.
I loved didn't feel the 6:20 like start time.
6:20
or the 6:05, whatever it was. The ones were started in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
You like 9:15, 9:30, you were closing out.
Oh yeah, 6:45 is a great start time. They don't do that again until I guess September. I think it's something to do with back to school.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't know, but like, you know, the last couple of nights, I mean, the Mets didn't start till 7:20 the last two nights, and that was taking me to almost to 11 o'clock every night.
See, are you at that age where you feel it in the morning?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to be, I mean, I usually mosey my way out to bed sometime around 10, 10:15.
Do you think that's more your environment than it is your body? Because I was up till 3 a.m. last night just aimlessly scrolling, and I woke up at 8:39 and felt okay.
I think it's a necessity thing where it's like I just need to get as much sleep as I can because I'm up early every day no matter what it is. Like me sleeping till 8 o'clock is not going to happen, ever.
When's the last time you think you stayed up till 3 in the morning?
I think this Friday will probably be.
Before that?
I'll stay up till 3. I don't know.
Not even bachelor parties or anything?
Concert?
Last Dave concert.
No, so I guess that would have been like January. I went on that bachelor party. We were up till 3:30 in the morning.
What entails a Dave concert that you will be up till 3 in the morning?
Oh, you just got to break down the set list when you get home. You're still jacked up. You got the Uber ride home. If you're still feeling it, you just keep going.
Really? So yeah, Dave gets you. So why would you break down a set list? Like, what do you care?
Oh, I break that. I look at every set list. Look at the rarity of the songs. What am I looking to expect? I haven't looked at the last set from a couple days ago because I want to know what to expect on Friday night. So I'm not going Saturday night. I'm not doing back-to-back. So family reunion on Saturday.
You're old.
I can't go to both. If there was no family reunion, I'd go to both. My wife was like, yeah, if you wanted to go, you could go. But
see, that's awesome. That's awesome that you have that. You know, obviously when you marry someone or when you get a girlfriend, some things leave, some things come, some things go. But I'm glad that your wife at least acknowledges that Dave will always be a part of your two relationships.
Look, it's two years, and she hates Dave Matthews. She absolutely hates Dave Matthews Band.
I've always been a fan of Kate.
I mean, she's ride or die. She's been to two concerts.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so... And I mean, she followed me down the coast with him, and I went with friends at different places, but she had to go to both shows in Virginia because I was like, we don't know anyone in Virginia. So
it's really interesting to watch like the Dead and Company. They came to Citizens Bank Park on last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really interesting to see just a fan base, I think. As people who try to grow a fan base.
Yeah.
It is so hard to grow a fan base, and I'm sure it was hard for Dave. I'm sure it was hard for Dead and Company. But to have a fan base, and it looks so cool in Citizens Bank Park,
Everyone's
such a loyal fan base.
Yeah.
It baffles my mind.
It's one of the cooler things, too, because it's like every year for a long time, you could just mark Father's Day weekend as Friday and Saturday night. I'll be at Dave Matthews. Sunday, I'll hang out with my dad. Not for me, though. He was dead. But you know what I mean? But that was the whole deal. It's like, this is what I'm going to do this time each year. And it's almost like, you know, it's almost like, you know, the Super Bowl is happening. It's like, I know these dates are the dates. And ever since, you know, COVID and then him not getting into the Hall of Fame, the one year that screwed up his tour schedule, it hasn't been the same. So this is the first time he's back since the Hall of Fame snub and COVID. So damn. I'm excited to see him.
Dave,
it's been a while. It's been like 3 years.
Dave in Camden is like a holiday ham on Christmas.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you just need it. I need Dave in Camden. I love it.
Did you see that Bruce only has one New Jersey date?
No, he has multiple New Jersey. He only has one Newark date.
One New Jersey date.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's tough because like he's doing an indoor stadium tour, which I found interesting. Like I already marked my calendar to try and get tickets to the Philly show because I've never seen him. I'm a big Bruce fan as well. So I'd like to see him. He's one of those ones that I'd like to cross off the list. That I say, hey, I've seen him. You know, I've seen Billy Joel. I've seen Aerosmith. I've seen Cheap Trick. I've seen Steve Miller Band.
You seen Travis Scott?
No, I have not.
He's good.
Yeah, again, it's one of those concerts I just don't think I would blend in well at. Like we talked about last week, cop.
You'd be fine.
Be like, that guy's a cop. Or it works for the FDA or some kind of informant.
Works for the FDA.
Yeah. The other question I had was, I was thinking about this the other day. When these like great touring bands eventually go away, who's next? Like, because think about it this way. Let's use Travis Scott, your guy, right? Do you think in like 20, 30 years you're still going to be going to Travis Scott concerts? Like, do you think he'll hold up that long?
No, because he's a nut. He's a nut job. He. I don't know if you've ever seen a highlight. Let's call them highlights of Travis Scott concerts. He's up 30 feet in the air, climbing the rafters. He's jumping all over the place. He's doing this. He's doing that. I mean, Jay-Z. Let's take Jay-Z for example. Like.
But like he barely goes on tour anymore.
Yeah, but he doesn't go nuts. Like, he never really went nuts. So he kind of had that longevity and everything. Like Travis was always, music was good, but it was always like the pageantry. And you knew you were going to get his best.
Right. Every like old time. Elton John, multiple costume changes.
True.
And now he just sits there at the piano and plug him in and play.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you're gonna get your big ones. You're gonna get your Gagas. You're gonna get your Beyoncés. You're gonna get your Dua Lipas. Like those, but I feel like, always have longevity.
I feel like Gaga's also like you're going for the show as well. Now I've been to a Taylor Swift concert. She puts on a hell of a show. I hate her music, but she put on a hell of a show. She's one of those ones that can stick around because she's just gonna be able to go out and sing her songs the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. And she's also huge, and she doesn't have to tour as much as she needs to. But it's interesting to me that you know the touring bands, like those summer bands that line up, like. They're eventually going to go away.
I don't know, but you got the Killers, you got who's the Seven Nation Army guys, the White Stripes, you got. You know, there still are some bands that'll like Rage Against the Machine still has a very popular following. I think they're just kind of like
Blink 182, like you would think like, if they came back and they toured together, people would go. Green Day, if they came back and toured together, people would go.
Well, you think about it, Poison, Def Leppard, Joan Jett, they were all, I mean, now those are touring jam bands, but you know they all have to combine now so that they can sell out Citizens Bank Park.
Like what I'm saying is, you know, I'll use the three examples of OAR, Phish, and Dave Matthews Band. Yeah. Similar type of music, right? Obvious jam bands. You're going there for the vibes. You're not going there so much for the actual concert. You're going there for the party and the music's on. Like that's my whole worry is like, is that going to go away? I feel like Zach Brown is kind of falling into that model now, where he's like, I'm just going to go out and just tour every single year. Play
Do you know a Zach Brown song after 2012? Like I only know like
no, I kind of like, stopped listening to him after
Chicken Pie or whatever it is.
Chicken Fried. Yeah, no, I've been to a few Zach Brown concerts, and usually the first half great, second half's terrible because he just does covers. And you know, like, he's not. Maybe he's just not doing the right covers. I mean, him singing Bohemian Rhapsody is just not good.
Wait, it was terrible. Zach Brown does covers?
He'll do covers. I mean, Dave still does covers.
I feel like usually Dave's like got a one catalog.
Or two. He does, but usually one or two will throw a cover in. I mean, every once in a while, he'll start playing Black and Black, but he sings the Bee Gees over it. It's kind of cool. Like, he does all this crazy different stuff. So he does it, but he'll, like, mix it in. Like, he'll be singing Ants Marching, and he's, like, the classic Dave joke. He's like, I'm going to take this five-minute song, make it 35 minutes, and in it, I'm going to sing six more songs. And then I'm going to finish back on Ants Marching.
That's weird.
It's fun. It's just a roller coaster ride, man.
I just feel like it's weird to do covers. It's like... It's like Greg Luzinski signing like Dallas Green on the balls and stuff. Or it's like Chase Utley signing Jimmy Rollins on a baseball.
I think it's cool to hear a band cover someone. It's also like, oh, we like the time to learn another band. It's like almost like paying homage to it. Like Dave's big cover is Sexy Motherfucker, and then he'll play Sledgehammer. Those are the big two that he'll do. But it's usually like if he does one cover a set, that's a lot.
Are you pro Eagles fight song or anti Eagles fight song?
The Coldplay version was terrible, but I know what he was doing, but it was a terrible.
I don't think it was.
Oh, I thought it was. I mean, it just like the Coldplay again. Coldplay is one of those bands that hopefully will stick around. People will tour. They have a pretty loyal following. They also have an also like, I mean, any one of these bands that stick around for a while, like you have people who love them and everyone just hates on them so much. And Coldplay gets that a lot. I think, listen, if I never hear a Coldplay song again, I won't lose sleep over it. But the hits are the hits, and I don't mind them.
Viva La Vida comes on, you're tapping your foot. Yellow, absolutely. Fix Yellow. You, Satellites. Scientist. No, Satellites is Dave.
Nobody said it was easy. It's a great song.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree, but there will be. I mean, you look at Eminem, you know, it's going to be the guys who like,
I know, can't but like, it's almost like Eminem. Around. It's almost like Eminem has like eclipsed the point where he's just going to tour and tour and tour and tour and tour. And if you really think about it, like Dave's never gotten so big that like he was playing in all these crazy venues. Like he's played major venues before, but like he's a touring band and that's just kind of what they do. You know, he puts out one studio album every once in a while. The majority of his discography at this point is live tracks. He just puts out live tracks.
Do you think Dave has to tour to be able to live his lifestyle?
No, I don't think
because Eminem could like never tour ever again. He's sold
from what I understand, and I think this is accurate. I think Dave Matthews is the highest grossing touring band of all time. It's because they literally toured every summer for like hundreds of shows for 25 straight years.
So it can be a little skewed, but I definitely understand. I mean, you know, you still got to get people to come to those shows.
I think Phish is probably up there and OAR is probably up there too.
Dead and Company?
Dead and Company or just the Grateful Dead at the time. Dead, like, I think these bands are like, people like to hear our music live. Like, Dave's better live than he is studio version. I prefer a live Dave over studio every day. Sometimes I'm in a studio mood. I don't know.
Sometimes you're in an 8-track mood. Sometimes you're in a Spotify mood. Sometimes you're in a, you know, boombox mood if you still have one of those.
I don't have a boombox. I used to have a record player, but I threw it out in the move.
It does get sad, too, when, like, you know, they're noticeably old. Like, Madonna is one that comes to mind. Like, yeah. Madonna, so, like, that one, still wearing, like a one piece that comes up to the crotch. It's like, Madonna, you're like 55 now. You're
that's
60.
Like the one thing. Like, when I would have liked to see Fleetwood Mac when they came in. From what I understand, they still sound pretty good because she can still sing. Because she doesn't have to get up and move around. Like, Dave realistically doesn't have to get up and move around a lot. He can just stand there, strum his guitar, and sing into the mic. He doesn't have to do it. Mm-hmm. Queen kind of revitalized their career just by getting Adam Lambert to come back. So it's like they've done like, – it's cool. It's just like you wonder about some of these things. Like Kanye West, he'll eventually never tour again. He'll probably be like, fuck it, I'm not doing this anymore. Or he'll be like, oh, Cash Money grab, and I'll go do like six shows somewhere.
Yeah, do like a Coachella or like do all the Lollapalooza, like the kind of festivals and stuff. Yeah, it's going to be weird seeing Kanye, you know, just yell about random things when he's like 55 years old. It's like, this was fun for about 20, 30 years.
I am very excited, though. I've been watching a lot of Live Dave and listening to a lot of Live Dave. I'm very excited. It's been a while. So,
where are you out on the lawn if anyone's listening? Like, where do you like to set up?
So, I will always, if you're going to the Dave show and you listen to this and you somehow can recognize me, I will be on the lawn. I'm usually on the riverside up toward the top left. If you're looking at the stage, I'll be top left.
Looking at the stage, stage
right, I would guess I would be.
So, if you're looking, if Dave's looking at Gary, where would he look? To the right or left?
You just broke my brain. I don't know. I'm not good at that.
Looking at Gary. Is he looking up to the right? Or is he looking to the left?
Let's all play this game. You're all standing on the lawn looking at Dave. Okay. I'll be to the left of the lawn, probably halfway up to the side, over by that little beer garden. It's like, well, there's always a beer cart up there that no one ever goes to.
Sorry, I just damaged your brain on that question.
Yeah, I had to. Once you start turning people left and right on me, can't do it.
You're just putting the L's up?
Yeah.
L? Oh,
because I'll literally, it's the same thing. Like, I'll start, if you ask me to multiply by 9, you'll see my hands come out too. Like, I have to do the trick still.
So what's like, we'll get off Dave in a second, but what's like the setup? Like, we, you know, obviously you haven't seen him in what, 2 years?
Yeah,
so
three,
it's kind of like,
three.
I mean, you're different now. You're a father of one, a homeowner of two, a married man. I think you were when you probably last
married,
saw him.
Yeah,
so it's a lot different than, you know, kind of just slugging some beers, getting some lawn chairs and
is there
a grill?
It's a big weekend for me in general because it's Dave into family reunion, which is a drinking event, and then I have softball on Sunday, which is another drinking event. So I have to really pace myself through this one. Okay. And I really cut back my drinking. No drinking during the week for me anymore. So like I feel it quicker now.
I like that.
Yeah, I just stopped drinking during the week.
Wow. You do feel lighter, you do feel quicker when you don't have a nice little Pinot Noir or a nice little bourbon or maybe little beer at the end.
Yeah, I only drink wine in the winter, so strictly wine in the winter. Yeah, no. So I was literally talking to my wife over dinner. I'm like, I gotta like work myself through the weekend because I can't be useless the entire weekend as a father. So I have to be smart here.
So what are we going? We going Busch Lights? We going High Noons?
It'll probably be lattes. It'll probably be just straight Miller Lights on Friday night. Busch Lights on Saturday, and then my goal is Sunday. I'm only gonna have beers if we win. I'm not gonna drink during the game on Sunday.
Are we gonna go red meat? Are we gonna more of a leaner turkey?
Oh,
face?
If I eat at all on Friday, that would be interesting.
Oh, it's just balls to the wall. If Gary stuffs something in his mouth, and that's it.
Yeah, if I won't eat at the park. I mean, I'm sorry, I won't eat at the venue.
Well, don't be paying $15 for fries and then $4 for the cheese cup.
I'm not going to do that. What I'll probably do is I'm meeting up with my sister. She lives over in Haddonfield. We're staying there that night because we'll just Uber from there because it's like 2 minutes away. I'll probably just on my way down 295 stop at a Wawa, grab something. Something light so I don't feel like trash all night because I'm going to drink probably 12 beers, I would assume. I'm going to try.
I think you got more in you.
I probably do, but I have to get up early. I got to come home and dad. Then I got family reunion, which is a family Olympic, so it's not like we're just standing around all day.
Make sure you use the Sharpie and mark one off on your wrist every time you...
Okay. We'll play the tabs game. But no, seriously, if you guys are going to be at the concert on Friday night, try and find me. I will gladly hang out with you.
Yeah, and tweet at Coach Gary.
Yeah, tweet me out. I'll be hanging out. Probably not a lot of tailgating, and if we are going to tailgate, we won't tailgate. We'll just go to Victor's. Victor's is a great bar down there.
It is.
Victor's bar guy.
What else we got on the list?
I can't find the list I sent you because I just kept sending you things. Do you want to? Oh, here we go. Let's go. We tried to talk about baseball. huge series between the Mets and the Braves, and the Mets come out 2-3. This team's still different. They're still different. They're still okay. They're going to be just fine. They won without their best players. Scherzer pitches a gem. Peterson was fine on Friday night, and Bassett came back and pitched real well today. Lindor's heating up. We're fine.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Is the Big Ugly in the Home Run Derby?
Yes. He will be coming back. Do you care about the Home Run
Derby?
About
the Home Run Derby? I do. Yeah. I mean, Schwarber's in it now, so I actually have someone to root for. I think that's the last guy since Abreu, unless
Ryan Howard definitely did it.
Oh, Ryan Howard. Yeah, what the fuck?
Ryan Howard won in Pittsburgh.
Ryan Howard did it, and then did Reese maybe do it?
I don't think Reese Hoskins did it.
Bryce did it for Washington.
Yeah. You do care, though. Like, you just don't want Pete to win because you're anti-Pete.
I was anti-Pete. I'm anti-goofball.
So he would be the first person to win three in a row.
He would be, and he'd win $3 million off of winning three in a row. So, I mean, I can't hate him. Like, he's won $2 million in 2 years.
I also think, like, I would assume he's probably the betting favorite to go into it because he's won two in a row. He also just kind of lines up because he's just like a big boy. Just goes out and mashes baseball. Same thing with Schwarber, though. Has Schwarber done one before? I don't think he has.
Schwarber did last year? Do you have to be in the All-Star game to do it? You do, right?
I don't think you have to be in the All-Star game to do it. Because is Albert Pujols an All-Star?
I think they're doing the commissioner's exempt this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Trey Mancini. Why are you rolling your eyes?
I'm just saying. Legend. It's like, I know. I love Al Pulis. I met him. We'll tweet the picture out.
You stay here.
Yeah, you stay here. But yeah, no. I'm like rolling my eyes because it's like I just hope they don't like somehow like let him win.
It's better than the game, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, the game. Who cares about the game? If you watch the All-Star game, like. Maybe when it used to mean something, home field advantage being decided on the All-Star game was absurd, but at least it put a little pep in each step, unless you played for the, Orioles or something.
I'm sure they donate to charity, which might put a little bit of pep in people's step. Not if you're JJ, not if you're JT Realmuto, because $260,000 means nothing to people.
No, not a thing. Now, I'll probably watch the Home Run Derby. I don't really care. But now that there's like a Phillies Mets rivalry thing going on, I'm going to have to like, gonna have to care a little bit. So yeah, let's go, Pete. Let's see.
Yeah, I hope they get matched up because usually they do it by home runs, right?
I think the matchup is stupid. I think they should go back to the model where it's like you
took too long.
I know, but
I don't need Abreu hitting 41 home runs or 14 or 20 some home runs in one round.
There's got to be a better way to do it.
Or Josh Hamilton. Like Josh Hamilton was awesome that year, but it's like, can we move this along? It's already 3 hours long.
Yeah, but it's annoying because like the rounds don't carry over. Like I feel like there should be carryover. Like, maybe each batter gets 2.5 minutes, as many as you can hit in 2.5 minutes, and then you carry it over.
That's like the end, right? They do that for when they get a special ball, I think.
I don't know if they hit a certain.
They've changed the rules so much that I'm trying to remember what it was.
I would love to go to a home run derby.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, 2026.
Here we go. We're going to go.
Mm-hmm. 2026.
Mark that down. Water Boys is still broadcasting. 2026. Yeah. We'll be there.
4 years from now.
Garrow
have 7 kids and will be on his 4th house.
One kid, no houses. 2 kids, one house. Second wife, probably.
Second wife.
Just kidding. But maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
New dad.
Yeah. There'll probably be a new dad. I'll have 2 kids, but there'll be questions on if the second one's actually mine.
Are the Islanders taking applications for fans?
Probably. Why? What are you saying?
I always like the color scheme.
Yeah, I mean, blue and orange is a beautiful color scheme. I want to talk to you about the Flyers, and this always sounds so mean coming from me. Talk about a directionless place. They are a black hole. They're one of those people that it's like, do you remember they're just like flipping a coin to make decisions. Like, should we do this? Nope. The guy goes, we're going to do an aggressive retool. He hasn't retooled shit. He just re-signed mediocre players.
We built the Broad Street Bullies. We have this Lawrence guy, whatever his name is. We've got
Tony Reelers.
We got Sealer. We've got Nate Thompson. We've got McEwen. Like all dudes that can brawl.
Yeah.
Cam Atkinson's going to have like 70 goals next year as the Bash Brothers just move everybody out of the way.
Remember
the
beginning of this year when Cam Atkinson was playing really well and they were like, oh, the Flyers are a wagon. And then the wagon stopped moving.
I didn't watch one game this season and I do not see myself watching one game next season, but I'll tell you right now, they're going to hear so much shit during the offseason of how bad they're going to suck. No, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're such like tough asshole kind of guys that you know they're going to go like 7-3-1. like yeah, to start, start the season.
Out, they always, the Flyers always start out hot. With the people I feel bad for are guys like Ant and Russ, people who actually care about the team so much.
I think Russ is going nuts.
Yeah, he has. I've been watching him on Twitter, and there was a little bit of drama, and I was going to tweet out, where do I send my application to get on
Snow You should see the goal. Slack channel.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, when they actually care, when hockey fans, the Flyers have great fans, the fans that actually care. And the problem is the Flyers have just continuously kicked their fans in the nuts. Mm-hmm. And I honestly just feel bad. Like, I kind of love it sometimes, but I also do just feel bad. Like, my father-in-law, season ticket holder for years, this year finally is like, no, can't do it anymore. I can't justify paying for this team to continually just ruin my life.
Mm-hmm. The Oscars are so bad. Like, between, it is. Like, I agree with the Oscar Lindblom buyout. You had to do it. But then you go get Justin Braun and this Lawrence guy. And I know people are going to get mad at me for not being able to pronounce his name, but whatever.
The Lindblom understand, because he goes and signs with the Sharks right away for not that much less money. Like, why couldn't you just trade him to the Sharks for something?
I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like Chuck Fletcher doesn't know how to be a GM.
Well, that's definitely. And supposedly, according to Russ, like, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, we got to get Bobby Clark out of there. We got to get Holmgren out of there. Why are they still
in this? Holmgren has been employed by the team for so long, and he has done nothing for the franchise.
He's
and
the only guy that has failed. The Flyers Hall of Fame. He fails upwards. He always has. Insane.
He's a joke. I hate Paul Holmgren. Hate him. I hate him. The fact that he still has a job with the organization is just, it puts my mind in a pretzel how some guy can stick with an organization and not win shit. Hasn't won a thing. And the one time they went to the cup, it was with a lackluster group of guys who got hot. They started a dynasty when they lost that series.
He looks like the cross between a Bond villain and someone that has to introduce themselves to the neighborhood when they move in.
It reminds me of Vladimir Putin.
he's got the high and tight cut. Yeah. And supposedly there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Fletcher's their guy. They vouched for him and everything. This is all secondhand knowledge that I hear from Russ and Ant. But
here's one thing they need to do. They Comcast needs to sell the team out.
Well, they have no identity. No identity.
They'll never do it, but they need, this is where I'll go back to the Steve Cohen thing. When you don't have a sport that's not football or basketball that just makes money hand over fist, you need an owner who actually cares about the product and the team to come in and save it. When John Ledecky bought the Islanders off Charles Wong bought him, and he was just some investment guy. Ledecky came in and Scott Malkin came in, and they were like, we're going to get these guys a stadium, we're going to get these guys a team, and we're going to care about a hockey team that we love. Steve Cohen did the same thing with a Mets team. You just want someone to come in who actually cares and wants to win. And that's a shame. As long as Comcast owns the Flyers, they're not going to care. The only time they're going to care is when they see that they're not making money, and maybe this will be a wake-up call because they're not going to make money this year. I mean, they will, but it'll be much less.
Yeah, they're black on the balance sheet right now. You think Michael Rubin likes the Flyers?
I don't know. Is he in the marketplace to buy more stuff?
I think he is.
He probably is. What about Scott Harris?
He's got Fanatics deals and stuff. I don't know. Well, yeah.
Well, doesn't he own the? I think he owns the Devils already, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, Scott Harris.
I don't think you can own two teams in the same league.
No, you can't.
Be a conflict of interest.
And
maybe Stan Kroenke would want to buy him. I think he owns the Blues, though.
Yeah, he owns the Blues.
Yeah, well, no. Stan Kroenke
he owns the Avalanche.
Yeah, he owns like every team.
Mm-hmm. Oddly, has a Denver. Used to be St. Louis, and now it's obviously L.A. And then the Walmarts. He's married to
Walton's. He's married to a Walton. Never lost a game. Sam Walton never lost a game. If you get a chance to read the Sam Walton book, read the first chapter. He just tells you he's never lost anything in his life.
He's never lost a game right now in the NFL. I like that.
Never lost a game.
He
owns a Premier League team, doesn't he?
Yeah, he owns Arsenal.
Yeah. Guy just makes money on teams.
Blitzer actually is the first guy to ever own a team in every five major sports.
Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, I'm actually afraid of the Sixers becoming this because they're now that Rubin's gone, they've kind of lost their identity. And with Harris and Blitzer, they're selling off like they've already sold off like 10% to this like Akron Management, which is basically just a public equity firm that obviously Blitzer and Harris are a part of a public equity firm too. It's going to run like a public equity company, I feel like, in the next couple of years.
I think
Harris liked Rubin because Rubin got so much clout from hanging out with rappers and celebrities and all that stuff. And he's the one who owns the majority share. It's, well, why don't you, you know, be cool. Like, be cooler. Like, your public equity guy.
Scott Harris. That's the first of all I want to thank our fans.
Josh Harris.
Scott Harris. Who gives a shit?
That's true.
Yeah. Who cares about billionaires? Unless their name's Steve Cohen. I don't care. And Jeffrey Lurie. I like Jeffrey Lurie a lot. See, that's the other thing. Jeffrey Lurie cares about the team, and he actually cares.
He does.
And that's
why
I like Lurie's son, whose name escapes me right now. I'm glad that they already gave him a promotion. They're going to teach him the ways of the ownership.
Yeah, sure. I don't
Who
know.
Cares, right?
I mean, well,
win games.
Just win games, right? And then that your fruity little scarf will be okay in my eyes.
Fruity little scarf will be okay. As long as Al Calabi's not talking to the team at any time. I can't go from Howie to Al Calabi. I can't do it.
It's got to be...
Just get like a football guy's name at least. Even like Howie Roseman. Not a football guy.
Who's the guy in that we used to have in New York now? The Jets.
Joe Douglas? Yeah,
Douglas. That guy looks like he played line.
American
he might have played
it
like Kennesaw
guy.
State, but at least he looks like he played the line. I feel so bad for is it Julian Lurie? There's like two pictures out there of him, and they're both with that fruity little scarf, and he's just probably like
yeah,
Dad, I got to get in front of, I got to get Would like you, get Subers or get somebody out there.
If you had to do a day in Julian Lurie's scarf or Jeff McLean's gloves, what would you pick?
Oh, Jeff McLean's gloves in a second.
You go with the gloves before. Oh,
I own a pair of those Jeff McLean gloves.
Good God, here we go.
And they had the thing. They had the little thing that flips over, so it covers it. Like, dude, cool Jeff gloves. McLean's gloves, like they're multidimensional. You can go outside and be warm, and then you go inside and you got some breathability.
No, I would go with. I'd wear the fruity scarf for at least.
That dude looks like he was going to be Gryffindor.
I don't think I'm. Maybe he is.
That's true.
He's so rich. Maybe he has his own Hogwarts.
Julian's a Hufflepuff.
That's fair. Al Calabi's a Hufflepuff. Julian might be
Slytherin. I feel like there's some like
Howie Slytherin.
Yeah, I feel like he's Howie's protege.
Tune in next week where we just take. putting people in Harry Potter houses.
Howie's Draco and Alec Hallaby
He's the boy who lived. Come to die.
He can't be Crabbe or Goyle.
No.
There was like a shithead little Slytherin kid in one of the movies. If anyone listening is a Harry Potter fan, you don't
know. Maybe 1.1 will release the Quidditch draft.
Yeah, Quidditch draft. I don't think it's on my computer anymore. Yeah.
It was probably not good anyway.
That was right at the start of the pandemic.
It was tough. We were just trying to come up with things. We did a Quidditch draft. It sucked.
Yeah.
Well, we'll redo it. If people ask for it, we'll redo it. It'll be bad. Quidditch draft. I'm looking at what else we have up here. Dude, the problem is, what did you make of... I wanted to talk about this probably when we were talking about the Phillies. I always just think it's hilarious that we just have to have the vaccine debate every time someone has to go to Canada now. Like, so I think it's so funny.
Does this change vaccine debates forever?
Yes.
Like, if someone doesn't get a meningitis shot, like, is that the next one? Or
calling
someone
bad teammates because they're not available for two games at 162? It's like, look, buddy, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. Just get over it.
At this point, and
are we really still vaccine shaming at this point?
You're exactly right. And people are like, well, he's sitting out. It's like, well, no, the government of Canada is telling him he can't.
He's also not getting paid.
Yeah.
So he's not getting to play with his teammates. He's not making the money that he deserves. What was it, $200-some thousand?
$260,000. Yeah. And like he could have been better when he said it, not having a smirk on his face, maybe being a little bit serious. But yeah, man. I mean, Schwarber came out and said what he said, and he said nobody's on this team is a bad teammate for not wanting to put something in their body they're not comfortable with. And I thought that was a great leadership move by Kyle Schwarber, and that's where the argument should have ended. If those 25 or 26 guys in that locker room don't care or say they don't care or feel that, hey, you know, next man up kind of attitude, I kind of ride with that.
Do you think if you go in there like Adubel Herrera is like, oh, I can't believe that he didn't get the vaccine, what a terrible teammate. Do you think JT Realmuto is like, I can't believe you beat the shit out of your wife? You're a terrible teammate.
So that's the funny thing. Like, I'm looking at this. It's like JT Realmuto. Like, does JT Realmuto think Kyle Schwarber's like some like conformist pussy because he got the vaccine?
Right. I bet you it's one of those things. Like, yo, dude, I just don't want to get the vaccine because I don't believe in it.
And the conversation probably ends there.
That's that. Like, if you came on here tomorrow, Kyle, and was like, look, I didn't get the vaccine, which I know you didn't because you're clearly anti-vax and anti-Roe v. Wade. Like, Roe v. Wade.
Here, hold
like,
on. You want to see my fuck Brandon? Nope. Sorry.
Oh, never mind. Let's go, Brandon. I know you're so magged up all the time, but I don't care. You live your life. I don't care.
Yeah, I have a Calvin and Hobbes decal in the back of my F-150, pissing on a donkey.
There you go. Yeah, that's just America, baby.
Yeah, man. We're gonna be. I think you know. Well, Eagles were mostly vaxxed last year.
They don't have to go to Canada though.
But you don't think it's going to – I mean, I know they stopped
Here's the thing. It's funny because my mom and I were actually talking about this. My car was in the shop, so my mom did take me to work the last couple of days.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was actually kind of fun. I enjoyed my ride with my mother. We were just talking. And I was like, at a certain point, like, when you test positive for COVID, that you can't – like if it's like 2 years from now, they can't expect you to shut your life down for five days. I'm sorry. Like, you can't be like, oh, you got it again, like, shut it down for 5 days. Like, there's gonna have to be some type of change or like willingness to be like, okay, we're gonna pay you to stay home, because like that's my whole fear. Like, if I were to get it, like, I couldn't go to work and then I have to use my PTO, and it affects now way more things than just those 5 days of me being sick. And I understand, like,
disability.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, then you gotta go file, you gotta try and collect it, and it becomes so much more work. That's the whole thing. It's like, and I also know by not going, I'm protecting everybody else from not getting it, but at the same time, you know, the person who gets it is also sacrificing a ton. So, like, we're just in a weird spot with this whole thing right now. Like, the fact that
it keeps fucking mutating.
Yeah, and if you get it, you just shut your life down for 5 days. It's just, I don't know where we go from here. It's one of those things. I'm just like, I don't know. Yeah, where is he? He got it and disappeared. He's like, I give up.
It's like the Dave Chappelle. It's like, where's Ja? I need to know what Ja thinks about 9/11. Oh, will somebody please find Ja Rule?
I want to know what the 9/11. I want to know what the live golfers think about 9/11.
I want to know what they think about COVID and gun control and Roe v. Wade and all that stuff too.
Let's ask them those questions. I feel like we should put the live golfers through hell and just go to their. Just go to their interviews and just start asking them the hardest questions in the world. Why do you hate children in Texas? And just not back down. Be like, I'm a golfer, man. I'm not a politician. Oh, you're not? Why do you hate unborn children? Just keep asking them. And then somehow rifle it back to.
Why do you hate clean Saudis? Energy?
Yeah. I heard you bought a diesel truck. Why do you hate the world?
It's just, yeah, I mean, leave all
the hot take world sucks, man. I hate this place.
Ah, it's the worst. It really is. Actually, that's funny.
I don't know how you do it every day.
I wanted to tell you this story, actually. Me and Yoko were walking back today to the house. I think we were coming back from the grocery store.
Oh, there we go.
And we see this woman with her dog, and she's like looking behind her, yelling at some guy.
Okay.
And I'm like, what's, and you know when like you're far enough away that you don't hear them, that you don't know if they're like, hey, like from far away, or they're actually yelling, because normal people don't, you know, yell at normal people in public.
Right. In Philly, it's usually you just wait 10 minutes to hear the gunshot, right?
Yeah, exactly. Use a gun like a responsible adult.
Yeah. Just shoot them already. Come on. Somebody shoot somebody.
This woman was yelling at this guy who was talking to this person in a car, and the car was parked up on the sidewalk.
Asshole.
But it was enough, and she was walking her dog, and I guess she moved over, yelled at him about parking on the sidewalk, blah, blah, blah. But, Garrett, there was like 7 feet between the car and the fence. I turned to Yoko, and I go, I just can't believe people give enough of a shit to just bark at someone or yell at someone.
Yeah, why can't you just call him an asshole and move on? Like, not actually call him an asshole. Just be like, oh, what jackass did this in your mind, and keep walking.
But they
need to vocalize that.
The person was in the car, and the guy was talking to the person in the car. And so they're having a back and forth, shouting down the street. And I'm just like, what does this solve?
I just don't know. Walk
past the car.
I don't know if there's anything in the world that could get me in a verbal altercation in the middle of, like, public area. Maybe if he did something to my kid, that's probably about it. That's probably the only thing that would make me that upset.
Stole a home run ball or a ball that was given by a Dodgers player when it was meant for your kid. I can't believe people can get so upset about what other people do. It baffles me.
Oh, it does. It's crazy.
I have so much to worry about day to day.
Why do you care? Like, it's just like in my, like, I always think to myself, like, why can't you just call the guy an asshole in your head and move on?
Exactly.
Like, I do the same thing. Like, I'll be like, I was walking through the parking lot today at work and someone did the double park because they didn't want anyone to park by their car. And I'm sitting there, what an asshole. Like, what makes you so cool? Just go park far away so no one parks next to you. If that's your big
concern. But you're not going to run into work yelling.
No, but I parked right next to him. I'm like, I'm going to park right next to you. But, like,
I didn't do anything
wrong.
It
was passive aggressive.
Yeah, there's a difference between being petty and passive aggressive than there is just barking at someone down the street. Like, what is that girl doing right now? She's sitting probably watching Big Brother. And do you think she's, like, nailed it, crushed that guy? Yeah. That guy's going to remember me.
It's also funny, too, because I'm sure you've seen the clip now of the girl yelling at Dave Portnoy in the middle of nowhere about the pizza review.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just ruined her life now because he just keeps making fun of her online. Like, do you think in the moment she's like, oh, I fucking got him, and now he's just ruining her life?
I would say don't poke the bear, and that would go for anybody. If someone did that to me and I had the amount of clout that that guy has or someone else has, and I wouldn't want to ruin that woman's voice, ruin her life. I think he's where he's at right now because he loves to, you know, ruin people's lives.
But think about it. Like, you're like, oh my God, there's Dave Portnoy. I'm going to go scream at him.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like who I don't like and that I would actually go out of my way to scream at.
I would go out of my way to tell John Tavares to kill himself.
I think you would, but I would never yell at Ben Simmons.
He did. A little bit. You followed around for an entire day.
I'm a fucking hypocrite now.
I guess
I would yell at somebody, but like if someone
you were doing
deserves
that for content though. Like if he came up to you, be like, dude, what the fuck? He's like, it's my job.
Yeah, it's my job. Like
my job is to be an asshole to you. So just do your job and don't play basketball.
I did mean it. I did mean everything I said because I think it deserved, and I think he was an asshole for what he did.
I think Tavares is the only one I would actually want to go out of my way. So, like, if he was having dinner with his wife and kids at like some restaurant, I'd be like, I want to go to that restaurant and just start booing him. I want to ruin his night. Like,
his wife and kids.
Yeah, I would want to ruin his night.
All right, so the hate
I wouldn't be like mean to him, but I would sit there and like if we were at a restaurant and I noticed he was there, I would feel compelled to say something very loudly.
It'd be hilarious if you're like,
I'd be like, hey, John Tavares, not your family, just specifically
you. A disclaimer.
I fucking hate you. And then I would just start booing him until they eventually removed me from the area. It's nothing to do with your wife and kids. And you know what? Definitely a lot to do with you as a person.
That'd be awesome where it's like you're getting like wheeled out. You're getting carried out. Like, it wasn't to the kids. It wasn't to the kids. I'm innocent.
No matter what. Because the second I start this, you know, cameras come on, right? Everyone's like, here goes this asshole. I'm about to go viral. First thing I do, I would say, hey, John Tavares, minus your kids and wife. I'm sure you're lovely people. You fucking suck. And just start booing. And then eventually I'd be pulled out of there. But at the beginning, they'd be like, this was a very polite heckler. Yeah. Like, he's very polite. I would call him a snake and I'd call him a rat. But I'd be like, but not your wife and kids.
We had to throw some guy out, some random guy, because we had John Tavares in the restaurant. But man, was he such a gracious heckler.
Such a polite heckler. Didn't curse, just called him a rat. Told him he sucked.
You know what? He was with his family and his kids and his wife, and he didn't even he directed it only towards John Tavares.
Yeah.
And he gave this beautiful disclaimer.
Almost like Kanye, I'd be like, I'm gonna let you finish. I'm gonna let you finish dinner. But I'm just gonna go after him.
John Tavares hates black people.
You know what? He just might. He's that kind of person.
We're coming up to, we need top five.
We need to do top five. You want to talk about JJ Redick real fast? I agree with JJ. That's my only statement on it. I agree.
Well, I agree too. I think it is the best sports city in the world. And I wrote about it.
It's the best sports city to win in.
Yeah, I think it is the best sports city in the world, but I would also agree it's the best sports city to win in. It's you know, you look at New York, they've won so much. You look at Boston, they've won so much. You look at LA, they've won so much. Only the other major cities. Texas has like 17 different professional teams in it.
They don't count.
Yeah, they don't really count. It is the best sports city in the world, just the passion. It can be annoying at times, but the people that they get so hung up on a Tony D'Angelo signing or a Derek Gunn quote about OTAs or report that he got and stuff.
Yeah.
it's a hard place to live. It's a hard place to play. It's a hard place to, it's exhausting to scroll Twitter.
I think it would suck to play here if you were on the Flyers or like a team that like obviously just sucks. Like
the Purgatory Phillies.
Yeah. Like it would suck to be here during those times because you know, you're not getting, cause everyone's still watching and still talking about it. And all they're talking about is how much you suck, but to win here would be great.
I mean, JJ Redick hit the nail on the head. They would, that was, I wrote this in the post on Crossing Broad. I said that 2019 team would rival that 2008 team in terms of popularity.
Sure. I actually think, I've always said this, and it's a shame, and I love the 2017 Super Bowl team, but if one of those early 2000 teams had won,
oh, hell yeah,
they would have been, and it wouldn't even be close, still to this day, it would be the most beloved Philadelphia team of all time, just because of the way it was built, the group it was, the success they had. It was a slow build, finally came back to it. It would have been the most beloved. I still think people, you would argue that the 2004 team might still be more lovable than the 2017 team. I think people might be like, I love that 2004 team.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think if there's any unlikable guy on that 2004 team.
I mean, a lot of people don't like Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, but that's a lot of people. But, you know, that's the best quarterback in franchise history, whether you want to believe it or not.
I love Donovan McNabb.
So, hey, I'm going first. Top five.
Top five times sports kicked you in the nuts.
All right. Well, I'm just going to steal this one. The 04 Super Bowl. I remember telling my dad, I was crying at the 04 Super Bowl, 11 years old, and I told my father that he doesn't know what it means to lose a Super Bowl, not even realizing that he did 1980 before that.
Well, he's a Cowboys fan, though.
He was a Cowboys fan, I think, yeah, during so like that 90s. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like left his allegiance for that. By the way, I didn't know that the Cowboys, when the Cowboys and 49ers built their dynasties, there was no free agency.
Yeah, there's no free agency, no cap.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fugazi championships, yeah. They don't count. I'm going to go in, because I don't think we're going to have any of the same, because mine, what's multiple some? Things. I'll start with my fifth one. When Carson Wentz tore his ACL, I legitimately thought it was over. I was down for a week.
Yeah,
it was sad. That was a big-time kick in the nuts, because it was the first time we felt like we had a top-five quarterback who was playing at an MVP. He was going to be the MVP if he could have finished out the year. Like it's just the truth, and it was the worst. I think everyone in Philadelphia, regardless of who your take is now, when you finally figured out that it was torn, it was over. Everyone thought it was over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking back on it, we would never won the Super Bowl with them, but that's fine.
Probably not.
All right, I'll take this one too. 03 NFC Championship game, shut down the vet, Rondé Barber.
Yeah, I didn't have that one on my list. I actually really? Just missed that one. I didn't have it on my list. If I was really trying to like not do a ton of ones that we would overlap with, but I wish I had thought of that one because that one was brutal.
I mean, Rondé Barber running it. I've seen the picture 100 different times. I went down to the Tampa Bay versus Eagles playoff game this year. One guy was wearing a shirt with the picture on it. I was like, dude, like, stop living in the past.
I hate you. Yeah. It's tough.
Shut down the vet. I mean, that was a team that should have been the Super Bowl and would have beaten the Raiders.
Yeah. That one. 100% would have beaten the Raiders. 100% would have beaten the Raiders. My next one is the Eagles trade Donovan McNabb to the Redskins. I was heartbroken when that happened.
Really?
I never wanted him to leave. He was my favorite professional athlete of all time. It's not even close. He made me fall in love with the Philadelphia Eagles. I met him. I had dinner with him through a connection. I love Donovan McNabb. I always will. And it was, I remember when the trade happened, I was a senior in high school, and I asked my English teacher, I was like, look, I just can't come to class today. I got to go watch the introductory press conference of Donovan McNabb with the Washington Redskins. And he looked at me and he goes, okay, I'm just going to let you go to the library and watch this because I can tell it means that much.
Wow.
Yeah. Shout out Mr. Manna if you're out there listening.
Wow.
Yeah,
I knew Donovan meant something to you. I think how much that he meant to you.
And in fact, it was one of those times where like when he beat them, when he came back, I wasn't that upset because I was like, good for you, Donovan. I loved Donovan McNabb. I really did.
Revenge is great.
It is. It's a dish set versus best self. I can't talk.
You got it. No, you got it. Hey, do it again.
It's a dish best served cold.
Crushed it.
Boom. We're back.
Damn, I crushed that one. Everyone will remember this one. How can you forget? Temple basketball losing to Indiana in the round of 32 back in 2009.
Brutal. Terrible.
In 15 or four, no, back in like 2013, Khalif Wyatt put on a performance for the ages. They're up at half against number one Indiana. We're coming back from spring break. It's Sunday. It's the Monday before classes are about to go. I'm telling you right now, the campus was ready to have the party of their lifetime. They would have had to shut down Broad Street. Couches would have been burning. Oh, nobody would have been going to class. They put a box and one on Khalif Wyatt. He leaves his man, Victor.
Box at one. I love that.
Scooty Randle. He went like Scooty 0 for 12. Randall,
did he go to the major leagues? Or did
no,
he go to
no,
the
no,
NBA?
No. Scooty Randle. He went to Europe. There's another white Scooty. Guy. He went like their three best guys went like Rullier, Hollis Jefferson. He went like 0 for like four of their best guys. Three of their best guys went 0 for 16. Khalif loses Victor Oladipo at the end. Victor Oladipo hits a three to ice the game, and it's. It's sad.
I'm throwing a big time audible because I just remembered my number three, the Will Fuller touchdown catch.
Oh, you fuck you!
Yeah, that was the worst.
You weren't even there.
I know you were there.
Fuck you!
When you brought that up, I just remembered how awful of a night that was because I hate Notre Dame. I hate Notre Dame.
That was my top.
Is that your number one?
I can't believe you just took that.
Yeah, I saw it. I had it written down. And I had it sitting at six, and I'm like, no, this is a really good pick.
What do you care?
I can give it back. Do you want it back?
No, I don't want it back. Okay.
I cared.
You're a snake.
I root for Temple sometimes.
Fucking snake.
I can't wait to tell you what I replaced it with. I'm not even going to put it on the list because I don't think it'll have my top two.
Now I got to go to my honorable mentions, you dick.
Go to your honorable mentions, man.
You got to be. This is worse than them losing to Notre Dame.
When we do the top five of times, I ruined your life. This will be number one. It'll be great.
This is a betrayal I've not seen since Brutus stabbed Caesar in the back.
The second you said Temple, the first thing that came to my mind was Will Fuller scored a touchdown.
I almost took Temple, Notre Dame, fucking Deshaun Kaiser, galloping.
It was brutal.
50 yards. Will Fuller, Kyle Chandler comes up too far.
The worst part is it was Deshaun Kaiser. Malik Willis was already hurt.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
That game was ours. College game day, Halloween night, maybe Rule. Doesn't leave for Baylor.
They would have gone undefeated, right? They would have gone. They won the game. They go undefeated.
They probably go undefeated. I think they went 11-1 that year.
Maybe make the playoffs.
Maybe make the playoff. They wouldn't have given them the playoff. Mm-hmm. The Panthers, they don't have five quarterbacks in the last 3 years. I mean, do you know how much that game turned everything around in terms of like football?
I think the happiest party is Baylor.
Probably. Matt Rule took Baylor out of like the death penalty almost.
He fixed them. Yeah.
You fuck you.
Yeah. When as soon as you said it, the light bulb went off my head. I'm like, I gotta say this because I had a weird feeling you weren't gonna say it. I don't know why.
It was my last one because I actually it came like a light like you. Fuck you. Now you know what? I don't. I'm gonna do my next one.
Well, no, it's my. Oh no, it's your turn.
No, it's my turn. You fucking
Judas
cucked me.
Sorry, I hurt myself.
2016 UNC losing to Nova in the national championship. I fucking hate Nova. I rooted against them.
Okay, that one.
I mean, one of the greatest games of all time. That Kendall
that
Marshall
was the walk-off three, right?
Yeah, Kendall Marshall, but also the Kendall Marshall shot at the end with a prayer, and then obviously the Chris Jenkins shot.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone knows the next tour. What am I going to be? I'm going to start with the 07 Mets. The 07 Mets, big kick in the nuts.
You should have fucking taken that one.
It really compounded it worse than I promised my mom I'd go to that last Phillies game with her, and I was just in the building watching you guys all celebrate in my face. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Do your fucking last one, too, because now I got a fucking...
Yeah, my last one was John Tavares signed to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Good.
Yeah, that one.
Now I'm on Team Tavares now.
No, you can't do that.
I'm on Team Tavares.
He'll never win anything up there anymore.
I don't know. What kicked me in the nuts? Ben Simmons leaving? Not really. 0-1 Sixers. I was 8. You know, I didn't know how much.
I could just hear how much you were going to craft that story.
It was going to be. I like Will Fuller in the back of the end zone. Kyle Chandler comes up too far. He gets behind him. Will Fuller, who was a Roman Catholic, which is three blocks down from Temple University. It was, oh my God.
I couldn't be more proud of myself to do that.
They probably had the one kid from Penn Charter who now plays line, Mike McGlinchey. He probably was on the team. He went to Penn Charter right down the street from Temple. Couldn't get that guy in. Fucking Temple, keep a fucking top 100 recruit in the city at one time for me, please. Fuck.
Do you have your first pick?
My first pick, I guess, was the 04 Super Bowl. That one hurt.
That one hurt.
I don't know. The Cardinals, Eagles?
Oh, okay. So that's actually what I put Will Fuller over then. I had Quentin Debs getting beat by Will. What's his
You know what hurt face? Me? Losing to the Packers. Losing to the Packers, the Mike Vick year.
Remember when Mike Vick? Yeah. Was that a playoff game?
Yeah, Mike Vick was. He finished second in MVP voting, and then was never the same.
And then he never came again. And it was like came full circle because that's when he got in, right? Game week one, he got hurt against the Packers. Kevin Cobb did.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Came full circle. You know which one hurt was the Nick Foles loss to the Saints in the playoffs after the 27-2 year. That one hurt.
Is that a field goal?
I think so. Yeah, he left the field with the lead.
Didn't his name escapes me, the Saints returner. He ran it back to like the 40, like the Eagles 40, I remember.
Yeah. Was it Darren Sproles?
No, I think it was like Trayvon. It was like, I think he was an SEC kid, but he had like blazing fucking speed.
You're sure it wasn't just
maybe Darren it wasn't Sproles. Maybe it was Sproles Darren because Sproles. I think when Sproles signed here, they were like that motherfucker. I still remember.
I was very excited about Darren Sproles signing.
Listen to the Cowboys in that one playoffs. I think
the back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I think Bailey hit a field goal in that one, too.
It was the Donovan Erkatar game.
That was a bad one.
That was a bad one, too. The 08 championship stunk because that was a fun team.
Mm-hmm.
No one expected them to get that far. They came back in that game. I was watching the highlights today. Shout out Victor Williams, just tweeting out highlights.
They probably would have gotten crushed by that Steelers team, though.
Most likely. Also, it gave us probably one of the great, like, in my opinion, the second greatest Super Bowl of all time. I love that Super Bowl.
It's a great Super Bowl.
It was a great Super Bowl. James Harrison.
Fucking Judas.
Yeah, sorry. The second you said Temple, it went. I was like, I got to say this.
Just move along. Move to what's trending, if there's anything trending. What's trending? Gary being a fucking Judas.
Will Fuller's trending, I heard.
He's still in the league.
He is still in the league. I don't know where. Johnny Gaudreau officially signs the Columbus Blue Jackets. No one saw that coming. I'm going to tell you right now.
Him and Urban are going to tear Columbus apart.
Yeah. I can't believe he signed there. Like, out of nowhere.
$17 million on the table to go to Columbus, Ohio.
I was convinced he was going to be an Islander for a little bit. Now, I actually didn't really want him that bad. I was just convinced.
I think in the end, him not signing with the Flyers will be good. Just a great story. You know, and
it would have been a cool story.
And if you need to sell some tickets, at least you got, you know, Johnny Hockey to sell them. But
it's a shame because it sounded like he actually wanted to come here and they couldn't.
Definitely wanted to come
here. Chip Kelly is trending.
Uh-oh.
Tavares is also trending.
I think that's probably.
If I ever see Chip Kelly in real life, I may get arrested. That's what someone tweeted out and they got a lot of traction.
Dude, the trendings are so bad.
I don't know. It's only like, why is John? Ever since John Tavares left in 2018, this man is. I can't even read this.
Is it bad?
Has tried to, but ultimately failed to land an elite forward. This guy's just standing on the soapbox that no one wants to hear me say. But now that it's brought up, here is the actual frustration of all this. Ever since he has left, the Islanders have been on so many big fish, and it's just another one to not come to the island. Like they just. They're having a hard time, you know, attracting a legitimate star to the island, and it's killing me inside.
Sorry to hear.
Yeah. Damn. Why'd we pick that top five? Now I'm upset. Every time I see this fucking guy's name.
Good. I'm fucking happy.
Burn my house down. I fucking hate that guy.
But not his children or his wife.
Not his children or his wife. I very much don't hate them.
Where the fuck is my what's trending?
Claude Giroux went home.
Yeah.
Back to Ottawa. The problem
That's kind
is
of a with, loser move.
It is. What a fucking loser. He'll never win a cup.
He's going to fade into obscurity.
He'll never win a cup. I'm telling you. I told you. Never win a cup.
Here's one. Khloe Kardashian is having a second child with NBA player Tristan Thompson via surrogate. I got this one. Yoko actually gave me the kind of deep dive on this one. Cheating rumors about Tristan came out. Around December.
Uh-oh.
The surrogate probably got pregnant around October.
Yikes.
And this is the second time that Chloe's been cheated on by Tristan, which first thing I said to Yoko was, why does she keep going back to that guy? Because it's like he's going to be a nobody in like 2 years. She's always going to be
doing this.
She's going to always be Khloe Kardashian.
Damn you, Khloe. Why do you do this? Natalie Portman.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, Natalie Portman says Chris Hemsworth didn't eat meat before their Thor kiss because she's vegan.
And that they was say so chivalry's dead.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm a big Natalie Portman fan.
Oh, she's the best. Black Swan?
Yeah, that one scene? Mm.
What scene?
Bonk. Wait, can I ask you a question about this vertical burrito? When are you going to give the vertical burrito cut up?
When am I going to give it up?
Yeah, when are you going to give it up? That take's gone nowhere.
It hasn't gone anywhere, but I think it actually does work, though. Like, I actually truly believe in it. That's probably why I won't give it up. Like, I'll continue to cut my burritos. Like, I like burrito bowls, but a lot of places don't offer burrito bowls. So I just cut it in the middle. Like I said, the heat evacuates efficiently. Maybe I won't tweet out pictures that look like
how was that cute. Burrito?
So good.
Was it? It didn't look good.
It didn't look good, but sometimes I think it's because the way you cut it.
I think because you cut it, it didn't look good.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't
looked like Vecna's vagina.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people were saying. Yeah. It's just
that's what a lot of people.
It's my brunch food. I don't always love brunch takes or food takes or whatever, but it's my food, and I will do whatever I want, and I will tweet whatever I want. It's my timeline, so if anyone doesn't like it,
I'm fine.
Don't follow me.
I'm fine with the theory behind it. I am. This is a terrible selection of picture.
It was. If I put but I'm not Ansel fucking Adams. I'm Kyle.
I don't know who Ansel Adams is.
He's like a famous photographer.
I bet you PJ Walker knows who
he
is, though.
I'm not Walter Isaac.
Okay.
If I put an Instagram filter on it, maybe it'll look better. Maybe I'll do that next time.
Jarrett. Now I'm just naming Temple players. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the best show ever, presented by Crossing Broad, a.k.a. the Water Boys Podcast. We will talk to you next week.
Best show ever?
Ever?